Here's a story of a man named Bruntsy who covers Husker sports, boys and girls, like football and basketball, even weightlifting, like front squats and curls. Then one day, good old Bruntsy called a talk show, and acting on what they thought was a hunch, John and Josh wanted to start a family. And now we get to talk to Michael Bruntz. It's Michael Bruntz. Michael Bruntz. Now we get to talk to Michael Bruntz.
Well, last time we convened in this setting, the setting being Nebraska-Creighton baseball, and had Michael Bruntz on the Grum. Oh, did we set a great number. What a great number we set. And the under bets were going to win until Rob Childress decided to make a pitching change mid-count in the bottom of the eighth inning. And the overs hit. We had 13 pitchers used. 8 by Nebraska, 5 by Creighton in the 5-3 Blue Jay win. So Michael Bruntz, the question is now once again on the table. What are we going to have to bump the line up a little bit for tonight, or are we going to stick at 12.5?
I don't know. That was a great day in gambling history. The Omaha Casino was able to build a new buffet off of all the take on that bad beat. So I say we leave it at 12.5. I say let it ride.
I'm going to agree. I'm going to agree. I think, you know, 12.5 ended up being a pretty good number. I still hold out hope that somebody on one of these two teams is going to get a chance to pitch more than two innings tonight. And that could be the difference between the unders and the overs hitting.
Is this is there going to be baseball? You're out there. I've got
to it is not
by
it is
the gully washer.
It is not. Well, yes.
I can hear a train outside of the ballpark now.
The trains it's are like, still moving. Yeah. The rain has not stopped the trains from moving.
That's good.
But the tarp is on the field. They got it on there before it started raining. I think we're going to be okay. I mean, we're here. At least some of us are here. So might as well play this thing if we can.
Yeah. No, we don't need another continuation like last
dear
year.
God.
So whatever we can do to get this in would be great.
Hey, Bruntz.
Yeah, 12.5 is the line. We're sticking with 12.5.
Bruntz,
12.5.
4 out of 5 losses, or 4 losses in the last 5 games. Obviously, we know what happened the last time these two teams played as well. Concern level meter. What? How would you describe that meter right now for Husker baseball?
Yeah, you gotta shift some momentum. I mean, it's pretty clear if you look at Nebraska's numbers what the issue's been over the past, 16 days into April. I mean, Nebraska's bullpen has thrown about half the number of innings that they did in the month of March. They've given up about the same number of runs right now as they did for the whole month. So it's, you know, the guys that were kind of reliable out of the bullpen in March have not been as reliable throwing strikes. And, I mean, maybe this is an opportunity, you know, with likely going to see a lot of pitchers to work through some of that. But, you know, it feels like a team that kind of needs something good to happen. And, you know, you're coming off the heels of two pretty disappointing losses at Rutgers. I mean, you blew a late lead on Friday. You know, kind of were in control of it early on Sunday and weren't able to get the job done. So, you know, you're kind of riding the roller coaster of the season right now, and you're on a big dip. And, you know, if you look at what Nebraska's got in front of them and actually where they're at RPI-wise, I mean, they really weren't hurt much at all by dropping those games in New Jersey and are still kind of on the fringe of that host conversation after everything. So there's a lot left to play for, but the margin of error has gotten a lot more thin for kind of what they had planned 2 weeks ago and where things were trending.
Michael Bruntz of Husker 24/7 joining us on the 42 Degrees The Source Hotline. Biggest issue with the bullpen right now is what?
Throwing strikes. I mean, it's you know, pretty simple. You know, the walk numbers are up from what they had been, and that had been one thing that just staff-wide this group has done pretty well. It was just put the ball over the plate. And if you even go back to, I mean, the last Creighton game was kind of the starting of this, but, you know, the bullpen has not been able to get shut down innings. Even the midweek last week against Kansas, they had some great innings offensively, but Kansas was able to answer back really quick and kind of stop any momentum. The same thing happened at various times in that Rutgers series too, and that was something that they'd done pretty well to that point. So, that group that had been pretty solid through the first 2 months of the season kind of needs to get things back on track here, because, you know, at least on the weekend series, I mean, you know, Brett Sears and Mason McConaughey have given you enough to, you know, probably win every series that Nebraska's been in. So they've got to get Sunday figured out, and they just need the bullpen to kind of be back to what it was, because you're starting to see in the lineup guys that were scuffling to start the year or even starting to hit a little bit. So it just kind of starts on the mound with everything for me.
Hey, Brunt, spring ball question for you. And we talk about the number of reps a lot, and just like the way in which they're practicing right now versus maybe how other coaches did. Is there a possibility, though, that we are still kind of underrating the way that they are doing this and what that could mean for the team this upcoming fall?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, when you kind of really dig into it, I mean, you're breaking in two new quarterbacks. You've got, you know, guys who are newcomers at positions where they're going to be counted on. Newcomers meaning, you know, transfers in, thinking about those wide receivers. Even the defense, too. I mean, you have a group that's largely back, and they're just getting rep after rep after rep of just fine-tuning things. And that's significant. I mean, you'd love – you know, game reps or whatever, but I mean, you're getting hundreds of reps in practice. This staff wants physical practices. They're tackling as much as they possibly can in practice. So, you know, it really, I think, kind of speeds up the development process and, you know, also for the young guys, but also for guys who are veterans. I mean, you're getting a lot of chances to improve your craft. So that's a big thing. I mean, it really is. And also when you have, you know, with basically like 20 some guys back that contributed in some way on that defense, I mean, I think they've got a chance to be really good again next season. And I think part of it is just the way that they practice. I mean, even the tackling piece of it, you know, Matt Rhule was talking about that today, where, you know, how do you expect to be good at tackling if you don't do it? And they're doing it a lot. And, you know, I think the way that they've done it and set up practice, I think, is a big part of that. And, you know, everybody might roll their eyes at the spring league thing that they're doing and the videos they're putting out, but I think it kind of makes things a little fun too. I mean, you know, spring ball is not, you know, when you get to the third or fourth week of spring ball, it's not a lot of fun. There's not a lot of payoff at the end of it for you, but I think any kind of fun you can add to it, I think that's a good thing.
Michael Brunt's joining us on the 42 Degrees The Source hotline. Matt Rhule talked last time, not today, but previously about, you know, the spring game's going to be rather vanilla. But I liked his answer today about those physical practices, and we'll have that here a little bit later on the program. That said, I do wonder if, you know, there will be an element of more physicality in this spring game than maybe he is leading on. Again, not going to go over the top with it, but he also knows he wants to put on a decent show for the 50 or 60,000 that'll be in the stadium. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be curious to see what they do with the quarterbacks. I mean, I think they'll be pretty careful with them, but I mean, I don't think that it's going to be, you know, I think they'll be careful with the veterans. I think they'll be careful with the quarterbacks, but I think otherwise it's going to look like real football. I mean, think back to last year this time when, you know, they were kind of talking about whether or not they could even play a real game because they didn't have enough offensive linemen. I mean, I think there was a little bit of kind of disappointment on their part that they weren't able to kind of get the value of, you know, another practice and another scrimmage by, you know, kind of playing real football. So, you know, his answer today about that I thought was pretty good. And, you know, somebody asked, well, you know, are you concerned about getting guys hurt or the wear and tear? And I mean, they're not. I mean, you know, for lack of a better word, they really don't care about that. I mean, you've got a lot of guys who, you know, can roll through there. That's how you build depth. And, you know, to this point, knock on wood, you haven't had any kind of significant injury that's going to bleed over into the fall based on the way they've practiced. So, you know, that's in their DNA as a coaching staff, that this is how they're going to practice. And I think that, you know, it's going to look like real football on the 27th, minus maybe hitting the quarterback. So we'll kind of see how they do that. But I mean, I'm expecting kind of business as usual for that.
Yeah,
that event,
you know, Brunt's like, there's obviously, you can obviously be stupid, right? Like week 18 of an NFL game when there's truly nothing to play for and you have a playoff game and you're rolling your starters out there, like that can be idiotic. But like, there is an inherent danger that comes with football that like, you can't just always think like, but what if someone gets hurt? Then if you operate that way, then you should never have practice.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah. And you know, his point today too, I mean, I don't know if you guys are looking into this, but it's kind of like, if you regularly practice in a certain way, guys kind of get used to playing and practicing a certain way. Like, it's not a big deal if you all of a sudden have, you know, a surprise log period like they did 2 weeks ago at the start of practice. Like, guys just kind of roll with that. And it's, you know, your body's kind of used to it. And you know, I think there's a lot of advantages to practicing that way. And I think you saw even last year that the defense, they tackled better because they tackled in practice, and it made it tougher, I think, on some guys as the year went along, and you kind of get beat up a little bit. But I mean, I think, you know, they saw the benefits of that on the field right away last season with just fewer missed tackles from a lot of the guys on defense.
Well, if you couldn't tell before, they're pre-rolling some of the music and the squeegees are out on the tarp. So
doesn't
tell you enough that we're playing. See, music's back, folks.
Yep.
Baseball's coming. It's going to happen.
That song sounds like it's 20 years old. I was in high school when that song was famous. No one else. Da-na-na-na-na. What song
is
that?
You notice they never use new music. Like
they don't.
Music from this year, because it sucks.
Yep, it's all about my generation's music. You're welcome, America.
There's a lot of John Fogerty played at baseball parks.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Creighton DH Jack Gray still uses the outfield. That was
every
that
baseball
was
team has
that
one was, batter who uses the outfield.
Yeah. I know, but song. I'm just saying it's before your time, Josh.
Everyone has that song. So.
Chad Christensen used that for 4 years, I think. That was his walk-up music.
Exactly.
I first heard that song as a walk-up song when I was in college at a Nebraska baseball game.
My walk-up song would be something by The Strokes.
The Strokes. See, another old band.
Not that old. They're pretty old.
They're older than 2024. That's
Nick, fair. will your pretend baseball league, does it allow, I mean, in 1871, does it allow for walk-up music, or is it just some guy playing a banjo on the side of the field?
There's some harmonica, too.
There.
There's a piano.
It's one of those.
It's like a silent film.
It's unironically what they do in Banana Ball. Sometimes a guy's walk-up is just a girl playing a fiddle behind him.
There you go.
It's just that.
Mm.
Well, Brunsy, we'll see you at the ballpark here in a couple hours.
Sounds good. Get out the squeegees.
Bye, Brunsy.
Oh, yeah. The squeegees are out, friends. The squeegees are out.
Hey, John, by the way, we've had many, many folks on many sides talking about cylinders. Cody texts in on the 42 Degrees of Source hotline, 402-951-6020. If you need an even number of cylinders, how do the five-cylinder Chevy motors work?
I was wrong.
Well,
John was wrong, too.
No, stop.
Stop what?
Listen, if you have a V-block, that thus the nickname V9.
Don't care.
You have... Well, you're going to bring up your smart-ass questions.
I'm just reading comments. I'm reading comments from listeners.
Yes, you're reading comments. You're just reading nonsensical comments.
Nonsensical.
You've got an even number of cylinders on each bank, or otherwise this engine will be out of balance. If you have a straight block, like most four cylinders, it's just one block. But if it's a V block, you got to have equal number of cylinders on both sides.
Okay.
Thus, that's why the V9 concept doesn't work. If it was just a straight 9, yeah, sure, you could do that.
Well, that sounds like a poker hand.
Yeah, straight 9 is a poker hand. The Blue Jays are in the house. So I know
they have to play it now, no matter what.
I know that there are two baseball teams here. I saw the Nebraska team earlier putting the tarp on the field. The Creighton team has arrived. There will be baseball tonight. with the wind looks like it's blowing out to left for the moment.
By the way, Amazing Daniel has followed up on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed. He says there is a true V3 motorcycle engine. So there you go. What about the V3 motorcycle, John?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
All right. There you go.
I don't know.
Well, that was on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed.
All right. When we come back, we'll hear a little bit of Matt Rhule. And also, is 9 as fine as 5 would be failure?
I love this.
I don't like this riddle. It hurts my brain.
Well, we'll explain next.
I have tiny pea brain.
Well, we know that. But we'll explain to you next.
On 1620 The Zone.